book of Psalms. We'll have some announcements at the end of service tonight, so we're going to get right into our message. At our house, we have a porch on the north side of our house that overhangs, and on the east side of the house, we have a deck. It starts off and just gets you out the back door, and then goes down a flight of stairs. And we don't honestly spend a lot of time on the deck. It has become at certain points of our family the children's fort, but that's about it. That's about all we've really done with the deck. We dry towels back there, and that's about it. Make sun tea. But on our porch, that would be the north side, we have been spending a lot of time out there. And we got some tiki torches and enjoy that at night. And it's just a nice, you can listen to the birds. There's at any point in the day, it's nice because there's no direct sunlight, but you get to take it all in, a nice cool breeze across. And these last, I don't know if I just have forgotten how beautiful summer is, but this summer has been beautiful. Does anyone disagree? All right, Mr. Bone, you good? Great. This is a good summer. Last summer, I think we were still 2 feet underwater, right? Remember that? Super wet. But these are beautiful summer days. Mid-80s at night, it cools down to 60s, 70s. I think we're going to hit a warm streak coming up, but it is beautiful days. I really just enjoy sitting out on that porch. Our vegetables are growing, which is a blessing. Our cucumbers are going up the lattice, and we have tomatillos. Where's Mrs. Seatman? Tomatillo? Did I say it right? Okay, and we're hoping to make our own salsa verde, and we got poblanos growing, and we're excited about that. The flowers are blooming. We bought a flower for Mother's Day, and it's on that north side, and it has been flowering ever since May, which is wonderful because there was snow around those times, but thankfully it has been doing that. I like sitting out there. We can see the side yard, and the kids have been playing. We got ladder ball this past week. Man, what a blessing ladder ball is. Until the bolas become weapons, and that's not so much fun anymore. But the birds are chirping, and you look at the scene, and you go, how can I not be thankful? How can I not be blessed? How can I not have joy inside my heart? How does this not fill my heart with cheer? Fresh vegetables, flowers, children, birds, beautiful summer days. But all too often, we as Christians become quite dependent upon our circumstances for our cheer. And unless circumstances are ideal, don't cross me. Now, it's good now because, again, the veggies are growing, the flowers are blooming, and the kids are playing, and the birds are chirping, and this fills my heart with cheer. But what happens if those things aren't there? What happens if you don't have a porch covered on the north side of your house? What happens if you don't have veggies or flowers or children running through your yard? What happens if there are no birds chirping? Does that mean we do not express cheer in our heart? For the Christian, all too often, and unfortunately all too often, the circumstances are what dictate our optimism towards things. Storm clouds move in, here comes a rise in negativity. And I don't think those things ought to be that way. Let's pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Three short points tonight, but I want to try and be a help to you. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. And Lord, I need you right now. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize that goodness comes from you, regardless of the circumstances around us. And God, we love you. And we are thankful that you fill our heart with joy and cheer. May we walk in cheerfulness. May we honor you with cheerfulness. Lord, help us with these things. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Seaman was in my office this evening. We were sitting there. He wasn't in trouble. We were just kind of going over some things. And he said, what are you preaching tonight? So I said, cheerfulness. And I told him my points. He goes, I'm going to send your kids, each one to you, with bad reports. I said, thank you, brother. And just to test. You know, when you preach a message like this, you immediately, I feel like eyes are on you like, hey, you might want to practice what you preach here, brother. And I understand that. And the Lord showed me some things, and that's why I'm kind of bringing them forth to you. This is certainly an area, and I know I need to improve in. And maybe as we look at these passages, Lord can touch our heart, and in the sweet way that He does. We just sang about His faithfulness, and this morning as we arose again, He was faithful yet again, and His mercy was there. I'm thankful for that. And as we approach these passages tonight, maybe a familiar thought or maybe a reminder to us of how we as Christians ought to act in every circumstance. Psalm chapter 13. I told you to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 13. Cheerfulness. I want you to know that cheerfulness is not rooted in your circumstances, but it is rooted in your relationship with the Lord Himself. A Christian will forego feelings of negativity. Listen now. There's some really heavy statements here that I want you to be careful that you not gloss over. I want to be careful that I not just gloss over it. A Christian will forego feelings of negativity simply by trusting in the Lord. Let's think about that in our life. There are times when I feel, and gentlemen, maybe this is you, I feel the frustrations. And when frustrations express themselves, unfortunately, sometimes it comes out in anger. Sometimes things that are felt on the inside, we are not able to control our frustrations. We act in a way that we have to apologize for, and that's not right. Those negative feelings start. But if we neglected the negative feelings, that can be quenched simply by trusting in the Lord. You can't tell me that you're trusting in the Lord when you're acting in anger. When you're acting in frustrations, you cannot say that I am both cheerful and angry at the same time. They're actually opposites. And as Christians, sometimes we struggle with the frustrations of life. And we allow that to transfer in, maybe it's something internal, maybe something that no one knows about, but something that we are feeling on a regular basis. And what happens is the outlet becomes our family, maybe our loved ones, maybe even friends, maybe even our relationship with the Lord. And all of that can be simply adjusted by us trusting in the Lord. For when I trust in the Lord, there quenches the frustrations, and there quenches the negativity. Because, Psalm chapter 13, verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy, he says. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Say, well, that was easy for David. Read the first four words of verse 4. Lest mine enemies say, it wasn't for lack of difficult circumstances. It wasn't for lack of difficulties and hard times. And no, he lived life just like you and I. But he says this, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice. What's there? Cheerfulness. Even though there is an enemy prevailing, even though there is an enemy on the front. But cheerfulness is rooted in our relationship with the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Cheerfulness comes from being thankful for your salvation. Is that not what we just read? My heart shall rejoice in the birds singing. No, I enjoy the bird singing. I got my dad for Father's Day. Got the man that has everything. He didn't have something. He didn't have a bird feeder. Oh, man. So Joe and I went to Country Max. We found the best one we could. And we thought, oh, he's going to love this. And there he is. And he has a nice little backyard. And he puts the bird feeder up. And he likes to watch the birds. Well, he's got an issue now with squirrels in his yard. Oh, well. Not my problem. Hey, when does that mean he gets to be a grouch? Because no. Rained 15 straight days. 2.5 feet of snow. Kids are moved on and out. Flowers are dead. The veggies have been trampled by Trapper. But that is not the source of our cheer. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Cheerfulness comes from being thankful for your salvation. When we lose sight of our salvation, we have lost sight of the very root and the very foundation of joy and cheerfulness in our hearts. So when we struggle with those frustrations and those feelings of anger, it's because we've lost sight of God's mercy and his salvation. No matter the circumstance, a Christian can be cheerful. This is what sets a Christian apart. We do not find cheer. Now listen, please. We do not find cheer by living a life in optimal conditions. The world will try and convince you what you need to be happy and then fill in the blank. I think it was maybe Monday night. It was about 10:45. Lights are, you know, we have like the LED bright lights and then we have the soft lights in our house. The lamps are the soft lights. So by that time, the soft lights are on in the house. Trying to soften things up. We don't want it super bright. We want to slow things down a little bit at the house. It's about 10:45 and Sarah says, I'd like to watch the evening news. I'm like, why? I just want to see what people are saying out there. I said, okay. So we wait till 11 o'clock and turn on the news. I saw something I haven't seen in a long time. An advertisement. We don't watch a lot of news. 2021 Chevy, you know. And it's like, oh, I need that. That's going to make me happy. Here, take this pill. It'll make you happy. It'll fix your relationship. Here, drink this. This will make... Look at how much fun everybody... I forgot about advertisements. I haven't watched a lot of advertisements lately. We do not find cheer by living life in optimal conditions, but by living life considering God's grace towards us. Again, this is what sets the Christian apart. This is what defines the Christian. Number one, cheerfulness. It is rooted in our relationship with the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Church of Macedonia, what an example they were to us. Here we are some 2,000 years later talking of them as an example to us. In verse 2, it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction does not sound like optimal circumstances. Does not sound like the porch on the north side of the house with the veggies and the ladder ball and the dog and the cat and the... Our animals have been happy lately. Maggie, living life. She's enjoying it. She caught a chipmunk and put it right at my seat. Thank you. So appreciate that. Maggie's our dog. Our cat. how that in a great trial of affliction does not sound like optimal conditions. Therefore, my assessment of what I'm about to read of the Church of Macedonia is going to be one of pity, is going to be one of sorrow, is going to be one of sadness, is going to be a plea for prayer, is going to be a plea for help, because they are in a great trial of affliction, not optimal conditions. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Not what I thought I was going to read. For in great trials of affliction, how do you handle great trials of affliction in your life? Well, I have liberty. Everybody knows I'm going through a hard time. Therefore, I can. The abundance. You know what abundance means? Too much of their joy. Just so we're clear, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Say, what does that mean? They were going through awful persecution. They did it with joy. They made sacrifice and gave to people that were even worse off than them. In the midst of the great trial, we're to have cheerfulness. As we continue the passage, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 7, it says this, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Like, give me an example, the Church of Macedonia. They gave willingly, it says, if we study that passage out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they gave willingly of themselves. They gave liberally. That means abundantly. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Talked about that this past Sunday. In the midst of a great trial, there was cheerfulness. Say, how is that possible? Because we do not find cheer by living life in optimal conditions, but by living life considering God's grace toward us. That's the difference. In the midst, and God and Paul both drew our attention to those that were living in hardship, yet held on to cheerfulness. How is that? Because by knowing who we are in Christ drives us to joy. Keeping in mind and being thankful for my salvation. Got no money. Yeah, but I have eternity. You've got no kids are running through the yard anymore. Yes, but I have a Savior that loves me and shows me mercy and grace every single day. You're sick. I have the joy of the Lord. I know this body is not long for this world. Do you see that root of cheerfulness is found in the relationship to the Lord, even in the midst of a great trial? So what do? Well, we cheer up. Cheer up. We all have different personalities. And cheerfulness does not depend on your personality. Well, I'm just more of a melancholy kind of person. You know, glass is half empty. Cheerfulness is not only a character trait only certain people can show. Listen now. We need to renounce negative feelings and express optimism. There's that word again. Optimism unto the Lord and others for your salvation by living for Christ. How did this church in Macedonia have such joy? How are they so giving the Bible says that they were of deep poverty, yet they gave liberally. How is that? How did they have joy in that? Why? Because they were living for Jesus Christ. Proverbs 15:13. Right, we love this verse. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. It's broken. A merry heart is filled with the knowledge of God. And listen now, apart from your relationship with the Lord, you will be miserable. Guaranteed. But joined to Christ, we have eternal hope. Do you know that you could have the best that this world has to offer? The fastest cars, the biggest boats, the nicest house, the vacation spots, the time off, 401ks, not a financial worry, health, and be miserable. Completely miserable. Why? Because remember, cheerfulness is rooted in our relationship with the Lord. And you can try and mask it, and you can try and substitute it, and you can try and come up with something to take its place, but you will never, never, never substitute the joy of God for anything else. So cheer up. Get rid of those negative feelings. Say, how so? By looking at what God has done for you, recognizing your salvation, and serving Him. Miserable people don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to find happy people? As crazy as it sounds, walk down to the nursery. Say, why? Those are people that are just love the Lord and love people. Now, not every worker, nursery worker is, I understand. Just like everybody's everybody. Whatever. Say, what are you doing? Trying to get out of that statement as quickly as I can. But the people that are filled with the greatest amount of joy are the ones that have given their life to the Lord and serve Him on a regular basis. There's no substitute. You can get your dream job. You can live in the dream location and be absolutely miserable. Outside of Christ, there is no cheer. There is no joy. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Does your union with Christ... Listen, three questions. Does your union with Christ display itself in cheerful living? Say, what does that mean? Do other people know that you're saved by... We all go through stuff. Everybody. Everybody goes through things. But are you expressing the joy of Christ in your daily living? Can you see the bright side knowing God is in control? Thirdly, can you cast off negative feelings when they tempt you and show optimism because I know the God of my salvation? Can you do that? Last verse, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. We're talking about serving the Lord in Romans chapter 12. By the time we get down to verse 8, we're into what we would consider, well, this isn't as important as, but oh, these are all too important character traits that we ought to have. In verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy... with cheerfulness. Are you living the Christian life with cheer? Are you expressing the things that God has done for you to others with cheerfulness? Or is your representation of Christ one of negativity, harshness? It says, he that showeth mercy, how should we do it? With cheerfulness. I've said this before, but I believe in a group full of people, the smartest person in the room is the Christian. Why? Because they know where they've come from and they know where they're going. Sure, someone else might be able to calculate the trajectory of this or that or know how many whatever and can write a novel, but in all eternity, what good does that make? But secondly, not only should the Christian be the smartest person in the room, number two, the person that has the most amount of joy ought to be the Christian. And all too often, Christian's lip is dragging on the bottom ground. Hey, you've been saved by the grace of God for all eternity. Your greatest problem is solved. And our response is, yeah, but no. 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 Everybody's got to live life. And we're going to be praying about some of those things. But can you do it with joy? Can you do it with cheerfulness? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with these things. Lord, you taught me much with this. And Lord, you chastised me multiple times. Lord, forgive me for where I fall short in this. And Lord, help me to do these things with, help me serve you with joy. Help me to express mercy with cheerfulness. Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me that I don't. Lord, as we come to you now with some prayer requests, I pray that you'd see the humility of our heart and that, God, you would bend an ear towards our prayer tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.